4Radio.com.
Thank you for joining us tonight on 4Radio.com for the rebroadcast of She's Gone Country with Becky.
4Radio.com.
Trust Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trust Rio's, our only limit is your imagination. That's Trust Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535 or find us on the web, TrustRioSilver.com. Proud to be part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is 4Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
She's been playing at a room on the strip for 10 years in Vegas. Every night she looks in the mirror and she only ages. I'm a simple girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packs her bags to try her hand, says this might be my last chance. She's gone country, look at them boots. She's gone country, back to her roots. She's gone country, a new kind of suit. She's gone country.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome for this evening joining us with myself, Becky Christensen Phillips. You're listening to She's Gone Country with Becky, and I'm really excited for this evening. We have a very special guest tonight, and I can't wait to bring her on. So I'm just going to go through our sponsors really quick tonight because we have a lot to talk about tonight. So first and foremost is my guest co-host, Becky Christensen O'Shields, on with me.
Hi, Becky. It's going to be a great show tonight. Just can't wait. Got a very special lady on.
Well, I am glad that you are back from your vacation and you're well and over your illness, and we missed you, so thank you so much for joining me tonight. Donna Lynn is off tonight, and so is Cody, so it is just me and Becky. And if you're listening tonight, there was a couple ways you've tuned in. You've either called the 347-857-3760 to listen through your cell phone or through your Bluetooth, and through the hour, if there's at any point that you want to come on and visit with our special guest tonight, feel free to do so by just pushing 1. That will take you into the host queue, and my producer, Maria DiGiovanni, will introduce herself, and she will let us know you are on the line. And we will do our best to bring you on so you can visit with our guests. Also, if you are streaming, then you have logged on to www.blogtalkradio.com/4Radio, F-O-R-E-R-A-D-I-O, and you just click the red boost and you're streaming live. You can also get a free Blog Talk account if you want, and you can sign into that, and you can visit with us through the chat room, and if you have any questions for our guests, we can get those through the chat room via Blog Talk. You can also go back and listen to the archives if you're unable to stay on for the whole hour, or if you missed the show and you're wanting to know how to tune in and catch up maybe on some archives. You can always come back to Blog Talk, or you can go to our own personal website, which is www.shesgonecountry.us, and all the archives will be posted under the radio show link. So be sure to check that out. Our sponsor tonight, real quickly, just want to say thank you so much to our show sponsors as well as our station sponsors, and they consist of Higher Events, the Ambassador Program, B&B Builders and Remodeling, Trinity Wellness, Cowboy Up Energy, ToBeAccountable.com, and Trace Rios Silver. So thank you so much to all of you. All righty, well, let's just get right into it. We are really excited. I cannot believe the outpouring of just love and respect that our guest show, that our guest tonight is, I guess you would say, she has quite the following. And we ran into her at the Rancho Mission Viejo Rodeo last week and just felt like we just needed to get her on right away. So I'm, without further ado, I'm going to just bring her right on. We are welcoming, not only is she a world-renowned cowgirl, she's an actress, and she is also just a little bit of everything, but she's also an honorary inductee to the Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City. We are welcoming Sammy Thurman Brackenbury to the phone. Sammy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know that you have quite the following. Oh, my goodness. I was so impressed by how much, I guess you'd say, response and posts and comments that we received all week long as we posted about you coming on the show this week. So you are very much loved and adored and respected.
Well, thank you.
Well, and we've had a chance to visit over the course of the week. So as I was telling you earlier, Blog Talk is a worldwide platform. And I'm not sure if I shared with you or not, but we have listeners calling in from all over the world. We have listeners that loyal listeners that call in from Canada. We have loyal listeners that call in from Mexico. And we also have some loyal listeners that call in from the island of Crete in Greece. So not only are people listening in from all over the U.S., but they're also listening in from all over the world. So those that are listening tonight will know who you are. Those that are, you know, dialed in and know all about you coming on, they'll know who you are. But we'll also have listeners that will come back through the archives simply by reading the description on Blog Talk. So they won't know a whole lot about you. So we just start the show each week asking our guests, and so we are asking you, give us a little bit of background about yourself, who you are, where you came from, and let our audience know just a little bit about Sammy Thurman Brackenbury.
Well, I was born in Kingman, Arizona. My dad was running a ranch down on what they call the Big Sandy. My maiden name is Sammy Fancher. My dad's name was Sam Fancher. My mom was Mamie Fancher. And I was born in Kingman, and my mom had a little farm, and when my dad, when her and my dad were first together, and then he started running this ranch down on the Sandy. It's a ways out of Kingman, but on the Burro Creek Road on the way to Phoenix. And we lived there until I was 5 years old. And my dad ran that ranch, but my dad had decided that he wanted to start rodeoing for a living. So he bought himself a really good horse and started making a calf horse out of him. And my dad rode saddle broncs and bareback horses, even rode bulls some. Anyway, we left there when I was five and moved to Victorville, California, because he figured that he could rodeo more full-time in California, because there was lots more rodeos in California than there was in Arizona. So we moved here when I was 5 years old to Victorville, and I started school there. In fact, when I went to the first grade, the teacher says, she put the 0 to 10 on the board, and she pointed at the 0, and she says, "Do you know what that is?" And I said, "Yes, that's a goose egg." As in bronc riding or bareback riding. Anyway, then we lived there, and I attended school, and then we rodeoed. My dad rodeoed all around there, and then we took off and rodeoed throughout the summer. And we rodeoed we went every year, every summer, and into all the rodeos that he could go to here in California. And then when I was about 7 years old, we were on our way to the Northwest to some rodeos up there, and he cut his horse. We always would just drive our pickup along, you know, and we had a horse rack on that his rope horse, that we hauled his rope horse in, and we would just, when he would get tired, well, we'd just pull off to the side of the road and tie the horse to the side of the truck, to the pickup, you know, to the horse rack, and then we'd just roll out our beds and sleep until morning. Well, we were way up in the mountains near Susanville, California, and my dad figured that a bear had come down and spooked our horse, and he pulled back and he cut his hind foot real bad, and he ran off down the road. And so we jumped up and got our beds rolled up and took off with this farmer. He'd run into this farm, and this guy says, "Boy, I was hoping nobody had come to pick him up." He said, I was hoping I had me a horse. And he said, but anyway, that crippled his horse. So then he went to work running a ranch, and we went into all the way into Nevada,
are you doing house chores?
Well, he's making so much noise, I can't think. Anyway,
yeah, it's all right. It's a great thing. It's a great thing about live radio. You know, anything can happen. We just roll
and
with it.
And they heard all of that, I guess. He was asking around about a job, and he got a job running a big ranch there in Lovelock. So then we were there that horse was healing up, and he run that ranch for a while, and then he bought into a ranch up in Humboldt, the city of the community of Humboldt, which is a little town in Nevada. And then he rodeoed, you know, throughout the he supplemented our ranch with his rodeo winnings. We rodeoed in that country, and then he bought some cattle from my mom's side of the family and leased a ranch in Kalieni, and that's where I finished. I was probably in the third grade. I went on. We lived there till I was about a freshman in high school, but he rodeoed every summer, and we traveled, you know, on the road and with him and rodeoed. And he rode broncs and bareback horses and roped calves, and one year he even bulldogged because the border was closed, so they couldn't get any Corrientes across the border, and he was kind of running a rodeo outfit for a guy by the name of Ray Skinner, and he went down to Florida, and he bought these bulldog steers with great big horns, but they only weighed like 400 pounds, and he bulldogged that year. The big guys couldn't bulldog because they were so little, and he bulldogged all that summer and won almost every all around in the state of Utah and Idaho that year because of his steer wrestling. Because my dad was only 5'8" and weighed 150 pounds.
Holy Well, Sammy, well, this is Vicki, and, you know, so many of our listeners will relate to, you know, your barrel racing days, and we're going to talk about later on and all stunt work and everything, but, a lot of our listeners probably don't know that, you know, probably before you were ever running barrels, you were your dad's team roping partner, isn't that correct?
Oh, yeah, I know, it, and all the time when I was running barrels.
Well, we
won second at Salinas one year, and won a second, and then we won. We placed in the biggest roping that they'd ever had. It was a team roping, but it was the biggest team roping they'd ever had at that point in time. There was 290 teams, which was big for those days. It wasn't like today, but and we placed drill deep in that one.
Well, and Sammy, this is Becky, and as I told you earlier, my mom threw some facts together for us because she just loves you so much, and she made a note in here that when you were 17 years old, you also performed at the Madison Square Garden. Is that correct?
Well, no, that's not true. I was married to Harry Hart, and and he roped in calves and bulldogs, and we went to Madison Square Garden. It was the last year they had Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden. His dad had gone there every year when he was a kid. They would go back there every year because his dad was a big-time steer wrestler, calf rover, both, and he won the both the calf rope and the bulldog in there several times. And anyway, I was married to, that was my second husband, and I was married to him, and Patty, my oldest girl, was about probably 18 months old or so, and we went back there, and I just went with him, and then I was there at the rodeo. But we were there, you know, it was a month long. And we were there, and we had a, so we got an apartment. It was about a block and a half from the arena, from Madison Square Garden. Uh-huh. And I'd walk back and forth to the garden, Patty, that was my oldest girl. I had, you know, she had her shop made boots and her Wranglers and a little coat that my mother had made, her Western coat and her cowboy hat. And we'd be walking down the street, going back and forth to our apartment, and the New Yorkers would say, oh, look, it's a cowboy baby.
Oh, my goodness.
But I just was back there with him, and I was in the picture and all that. I didn't do. But they didn't have any barrel racing back then when Patty was a baby. They started having it about then out west.
Well, speaking of barrel racing, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to get into talking about your career in barrel racing because you have quite a stealthy resume and the things that you've done with that. So, listeners, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
ForRadio.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at HigherAscent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the show tonight. We are welcoming a very special guest to our show this evening, and she is just basically a legend in the rodeo industry as well as in the filming industry, and we are just lucky enough to have her for an hour tonight. And I just want to say welcome back to Sammy Thurman Brackenberry. Sammy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Awesome, awesome. Well, before the break, we were just starting to touch on your rodeo career, and I know that we have some listeners on the line, and if you're listening and you want to visit with our guest, just press 1 and come to the host queue. Maria will let us know that you're there, and I know we do have a couple holdings, but first I want to talk about your barrel career. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you first started out, because it looks like, if I'm correct, you left home in 1959 and joined the Girls Rodeo Association. Is that correct?
Well, I lived in Vegas, and I read about all the barrel racing which was the GRA at that time, and I'd read all that, and I pored over that information, and knew all about the barrel, and I trained every horse we had on the barrels, you know, but there was no place to go. Out here in the West, you know, and I lived in Vegas, and there was none in California or Nevada or anywhere around out here. So I've got another good story on this one. My cousin and I started trying to get him to have a barrel race at Las Vegas, at the Eldorado. And this old guy that was he owned a big car dealership. Mr. Cashman was his name, and I guess he didn't see real good. But anyway, we went to him and we said, we would like you to have a barrel race at the El Dorado. He said, a what? We said, a barrel race. And he gets up real close and he's kind of squinting. He says, what is it? He says, do you get in a barrel and run around the arena? With no clothes on, of course. And
oh, my goodness.
But anyway, we didn't get it there, but they had a fall rodeo there, and we started having the fall rodeo there. We'd have a barrel race every year at that fall rodeo. And the first year we had, like, 37 entries. I won first, my cousin won second, and this other lady won third. The next year we had 17 contestants. I won first, my cousin won second, and the other girl that had a Gymkhana horse that worked real good won third. And the third year we had the fourth year we had 7 barrel racers. But anyway, it kind of started to catch on, and then they had Delano, California had a barrel race, and I went there, and Charlene Jesperson was there, and I was one of the first. I think I was gunner, and they wanted me to. I just come from the gate like I'd read about how they did it in Texas and Oklahoma, and they didn't get my time because it was a Gymkhana rule to walk your horse up to the line before you started. So then I had to come back and change horses and ride the calf roping horse on for my second run, and because my horse was out of air. So I rode the calf roping horse and I won second. Charlene won first. The next day I won first, but she won. Her times were faster than mine, and she won the average. And that was the first barrel race I came to in California. The second one I came to was at Santa Maria. They started having barrel races at Santa Maria, and then I was about 19 then, I guess. And then I think it was 20 or 21. I took off on my own, got my own rig, took off and went to the Northwest because then every state was starting to have barrel races in the Northwest. But I was going to the barrel races in Utah, but they had a Utah organization. So they told me that I couldn't run in their organization because I wasn't from Utah. But they were having these barrel races at RCA Rodeos. So I called Bill Linderman, who was the executive secretary at that time, and he said, give me the phone number of that old tomato. And so he called her and he said, if they're having a barrel race during a RCA rodeo, she either gets to run or you don't have the barrel race.
Oh. Well, there you have it.
I was his pet.
Well,
friends in high places.
Yes,
there you go. Well, Sammy, this is Vicki, and for, you know, a lot of our listeners that don't know, I mean, you are barrel racing. I mean, everything that barrel racing is today is attributed and goes back to something that you did in yesteryear. I mean, you more or less revolutionized, you know, the sport of barrel racing, and you were at the NFR how many times before you won the world in 1965, I believe?
Yeah, 12 times. I qualified 12 times.
Well,
I didn't go every year because they didn't add enough money. You know, in this day and age, everybody rodeos all year and spends all the money they win to get down the road. But they rodeo to make the finals, and that's where they rake in the cash. When I rodeoed, I made a living rodeoing, and the NFR was just another big rodeo. Especially for the barrel racer for the first few years because they didn't have that much money at all.
Well, and Sammy, while we have you on the phone, I know you were always around our family and always at several of the rodeos that we produced. And I have my sister, Michelle, on the line. She's coming on to just say, because she remembers you fondly as a little one. Now, I know you, I remember your name, and I know you were at my first birthday party, but my sister remembers you specifically. So, Michelle, are you on the line?
Would that be Bradsky?
Well, Michelle, are you there?
Yes.
Hello, Michelle. How are you this evening?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Michelle,
yes?
Can you hear us?
Yes. It's your sister. It's Becky. Yes.
I'm gonna let you talk to Sammy. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, I can hear you.
Hey, Sammy, it's Bradsky.
Bradsky.
The one that was always raising hell.
I remember.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm real good.
I feel special, and that name kind of carried me through my years. I lived up to it, just so you know.
Cool.
Yeah, so how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
You have to share with our listeners the story behind the nickname.
About what?
The story behind
the nickname. I named her Bradsky because she was one. So I had a T-shirt made for her, and it says Bradsky on the right across it on the front that she wore proudly.
Oh, my.
And her mom still has it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Well, we're glad you got that nickname, Michelle. Much softer than mine. So, you know, that's not too bad that you got a T-shirt made after it.
All I remember is when I was that age, I was running the rodeo. I was always all over the place. I had forts in every town. Me and my rodeo brat friends, like the Van Doren kids, we would, every rodeo we went to, me and the other rodeo kids always had like our little forts under the grandstands.
Yeah.
One time, I remember at the Reading Rodeo, me and Joey Van Doren, we took off. We found this old abandoned building. My mom will remember this story really well. We took off, just la-di-da, our parents were working, getting ready for the performance, and we just ran off, and we were right by, I think it's the Umpqua River is where we would park. And we were gone for hours. My mom and dad freaked out. They couldn't find us anywhere. They were about to drag the river, and then here we come trotting along hand in hand. I remember that was the worst discipline I got in my life, I think.
And hence Sammy's nickname for you, Bradsky. No. Love you, sis. And I appreciate you coming on and saying hi to Sammy. But we're gonna take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're gonna continue with Sammy Thurman.
ForRadio.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Grace Rio, our only limit is your imagination. Grace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at traceriosilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen-Phillips. We just want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight for a special broadcast on Labor Day. Joining me tonight is my co-host, Becky Christensen. Donna Lynn, Quintana, and Cody Chester are away this evening. So Becky and I are just spending the evening visiting with our special guest, and she has quite the lengthy career, and she's a legend in her own right, and that is Sammy Thurman Brackenberry. Sammy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the hour that you've been spending with us and the time you're taking out of your schedule to just come share with us on this Labor Day the legacy that you are truly have left in the rodeo and film industry. So thank you again. You know, we were talking about your barrel racing career, and you won the world in 1965. You went 12 straight years to the NFR. And from all intent and purposes, you revolutionized barrel racing as well as the barrel racing clinic industry. So tell us a little bit about that. And I also saw and read there was a very special, I guess you would call it, piece of equipment that you created that has also revolutionized barrel racing. So share with our audience a little bit about that.
My saddle?
Your saddles as well as your boots for the horses.
Oh, well, the mare I won the world on, was real long in the pastern. So when she would get, and she would really get in the ground when she come in. When she come in the turn, you know, she'd really get in the ground to get around it. And she was burning her ankles, her front ankles, as well as her back feet. So I went to the racetrack, and I got some what they called rundown boots that they put on racehorses. Nobody much of anybody else ever used boots before that, and I went to putting the rundown boots on her front feet and the skid boots on her hind feet and splint boots, and all of a sudden everybody was using them.
Well, and I think it's fair to say that, you know, everybody did a lot of what you were doing just because you were leading the way and paving the path for those coming up behind you. I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, if I'm correct, your schools were modeled after Monty Foreman's three-day clinics, and from, I would say, 1965 through 75, I read that you were averaging, what, about 1,000 students a year?
Yep, for 10 years.
That's pretty amazing back in that time.
And I just
era.
Supplemented that with my rodeo, and, you know, I rodeoed also, but I just worked that in between rodeos.
Well, and you know, I think one of the amazing things, Becky, is that girls today running barrels, Sammy, they still implement what you taught in your clinic way back then. So,
yep. A lot of girls didn't put the reins in their right hands for the right turns. You know, they didn't bring a horse's nose around. They would just neck rein him around the first run and then go, you know, to the second two. And mm-hmm. a lot of them did neck rein, you know, and I never did. I used what I call the lead and bear rein. I tipped his nose to the inside, put the outside rein against his neck, and that's pretty much kind of the way they do it at this day and age.
Right, and then also, and then turning and looking to your next barrel, and that helps.
When I emphasize that, but I wanted to look where I was going to go. So that's why I looked for the I didn't look at the next barrel, which a lot of them say they don't want anybody to do. I looked where I was going. I look for the next barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
amazing.
And when you turn your body to look, you know, it was in the last phase of the turn. You kind of give your horse a. When you turn your body, like say you're turning to the right, you kind of causes you to put your left leg into him to straighten his body up and send him on.
Right, it really helps pull him out and go.
Yeah.
Well, Sammy, I know that there's so much more to cover and visit about with your movie and your stunt work and everything, but I have one personal question. That is, very quickly, your favorite rodeo, and you rode a lot of great horses in your day. Your favorite barrel horse, please.
Ugg, the one I won the world on. I called her Ugg because she wasn't very pretty.
Oh, but she was amazing. I saw her go many times, Sammy. Amazing.
Well, okay. I could have. She was a match racehorse, and she'd, but she'd been, you know, she was getting coming at the, you know, the lap and tap start, and she was getting so ratty that she jumped on her front leg, and she really hurt one of her front legs, and they thought she'd never get well. So that's this guy, this friend of ours, who's a really good bridle horse man, reined cow horse man in Nevada. Got her and broke her and put her on the barrel, started her on the barrels, and he got her broke real nice. I mean, you could slide her and spin her like a bridle horse. And so anyway, he showed her to me, and he said, I want you to buy her, Sammy. I only want $375 for her. And so I went to Anson, who I was married to at the time, and I said, I can buy this one for $375. I want to buy her. He said, no. So we didn't buy her for $375. And another guy bought her, and then he started mounting his wife on her to run barrels on her. But he was also a kind of a barrel horse man, and he would kind of run her in, slide her in, and neck rein her back around, you know, make her roll back around the barrels. And so we were having some, it was kind of like the 4Ds and all that stuff they have now. We were trying to get a place to go with young horses so we could get them trained. And so if they was in the 17, if they were 17 to 18.5, they were in the A class. 18.5 to 19 was the B class, and anything above 19 was the C class. So this girl came to the barrel races. We were having some weekend barrel races, and she and this guy's wife, and she was like at 18.6. And the mare would make a smooth run, and she was like around 18.6 every time. So she told her husband, she said, this mare can't run fast enough to make a barrel horse. So they said they wanted to sell her, and I give $875 for her. But I changed her style of turn, and I taught her to, you know, come in there and a little clearance off the barrel and you know, bring her nose and run the turn. And I went from the first weekend I took her to there, I was 18 flat, and that I'd had her just a few days. And the next one I was a 17.8, and the next day I was a 17.7, and then that brought her that upstepped the whole ABC deal that we had going.
And blew that out of the water.
That was ugh. And then she was great. I mean, unbelievably great. But I tried to count here the other day about, I was writing down all the horses that I'd ever won on, you know, I mean, competed on and won, you know, respectably on. And I was up to 27 different horses that I'd rode, you know, and won on. And, respectably, you know, I mean, there was some that I rode that I placed on, but nothing, no biggie deal. And then every once in a while I think of another one that I didn't put on that list. So I really don't know how many, but I probably rode 20 plus horses, you know, and went on them going down the road.
Sammy, I think, this is Becky, and I think with your career that you had and the legacy that you left, you probably won on almost every horse you ever rode. But this leads me to my next question is, and as we transition here, tell us how you went from barrel racing and transitioned into the movie industry. You have quite a resume as
well
in the movie
industry.
So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, actually, I was roping in Vegas, and this an artist by the name of Channing Peak was over here. He owned a ranch over here, and he owned the horse Driftwood. And he'd come to this roping and watch me rope. Well, this guy was going to do a movie, and he told him, he said, I know just the girl for this movie. So the guy come over and gave me a screen test, and they hired me to, and it was a kind of a documentary thing called A Horse of the West. And it was about a quarter horse, and Rex Allen was the narrator, and I was the horse was the star. I guess I was the supporting actor. And that was my first introduction into the picture business, and then the guy that did that had a contract on me for 5 years because that if I ever went back into the business he got a portion of my money, but I never did go back into the business until several years later. An assistant director that really liked me and had them come and give me a screen test for. Well, I took a screen test for a horse. They called me in to do a screen test for. I can't even remember the name of it now. It was with Raquel Welch, and I don't remember the name of that movie. But anyway, I didn't get that part. So he saw me do that that screen test. So when they got ready to do In Cold Blood, which was a true story, that they called me in and gave me another screen test, and so then I got the part in kind of a intricate part in In Cold Blood. It was the part it was about these two guys that were that had murdered this family, and the one guy was, this is a true story, and the one guy was a half Indian guy that was they'd been in the prison together, and they went, they mm-hmm. thought these people had a lot of money, and they went to rob them, and he wound up killing everybody, and anyway, but then they showed him as a child. And his mother, his mom and dad did rodeo. My dad knew his mom and dad in real life, the real
wow.
guy. And anyway, then I played the part of his mom and in that movie, and Flo Smith was the part I played, and that was his mother, and she was that she'd I think she was a trick rider, but they let me rope calves because I did that better than Trick Road. And but anyway, and so that was my acting part. And then later on, after I, they wanted me to come back and you know and pursue the business, but I hadn't won the world yet. And so I went ahead and won the world. And then I was still rodeoing. And then I married Bill Burton, who's a stunt man, and I became a stunt woman because I was married to Bill Burton.
So tell us. So that leads me to what I wanted to share, because one, a stunt woman in the movie industry, you know, I believe you said it's kind of easy, but I personally myself don't know that would be the case. But I'm looking at your list of movies that you've been a part on, and I just want to read a few of the credits to your resume. And some of them that I show listed are Comes as a Horseman, where you doubled for Jane Fonda. Walking Tall.
We roped.
Then you doubled for Linda Evans in Walking Tall.
Yep.
You doubled for Kathy Bates in Misery.
Yep.
And this one I love because as a kid, I don't know how many times I watched this movie. And that is you doubled for Dolly Parton on 9 to 5.
Yes, I did. I had to tie Dabney Cohen down like a calf.
Oh, yes, I remember that one well. let's see here. You've got Another Stakeout, doubling Rosie O'Donnell, Young Guns
yep.
2, A Walk in the Clouds, Christmas Vacation, and the list goes on and on and on. And so for just a minute, I'm going to bring somebody on the line that mentioned to me that they worked with you as well on another one of the movies that you worked on, Return to Lonesome Dove. And I have Gray Mapster on the phone. Gray, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, hey. Gray.
Hi. Hi, Sammy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Long time no see.
Right on. In fact, I was just talking about you the other day to Jess. We were just talking about all those horses that you had to top off for Sombrero.
I'll tell you what, it was kind of like they could have accidentally filmed us and not been able to tell the difference, could they?
Yeah, they could have.
Okay, so share with our audience, you two, what goes into this stunt man, stunt woman part of the movie. I mean, you guys just sit around for hours and then go do your replacement stunts and then take off? Are you there for the whole time of the filming? Tell us about
that. Well, the reason I was there the whole time was my husband, Jess, he's a wrangler, and he wrangled on it. So he was there from the beginning all the way through, Jess Brackenberry. And he's a wrangler in the business. And and then I was
so
there with
him. Sammy, for our listeners, what is a wrangler? What does that mean?
That's the guy that takes care of the horses.
Okay.
Furnishes the horses. Don't furnish the horses, but he gets the horses ready. In fact, that's what you were doing, weren't you, Gray?
Yes, exactly. And
yeah, you were wrangling too.
Exactly.
And we had cattle. We had herds of cattle that had to be handled. And
oh,
you can't
yes.
just turn them over to the actors. You got to have cowboys there that can take care of that situation.
Yes,
the horses
exactly.
Too.
Our saddle rack was probably about, what, 30 feet long?
Yeah.
And stacked about four saddles high.
Wow.
For the people, the extras. We had to
yep.
saddle up all the horses for the extras and the actors and have them. We would lead, when we were leading horses to the set, there was, oh, gosh, we would have, like, four horses. We'd be riding one and leading four.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember on several occasions, a couple of the wranglers, this one little blonde girl you remember her when she, we were going up on the hill and she, one of her horse that she was riding threw a fit and bucked her off and she lost all her horses.
I remember, what was that, the Mexican kid that worked for Sombrero?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember his name, but I remember.
I can't remember his name either, but anyway, he's coming back from way off somewhere, riding along, and they're looking at him through the viewfinder because they're trying to set up some, you know, location.
Right.
And he gets off and goes pee, and they're looking at him. Of course, he thought he was way off. But anyway.
He thought he was by himself, didn't he?
He thought he was all alone in the world. But
well,
then later on, I got the part of, I had to rear a horse in harness for an Indian lady, and I don't even remember her name. She was from Canada, I think is where she was from. And anyway, I had to rear this horse in the buggy. And she was supposed to get killed, really. And then she goes to the ground, and she's dead, but she wanted her face towards the camera. So then they went ahead, and she got her face towards the camera. So then she had to lay there for the next 3 or 4 days with her face to the camera while they did dialogue around her. And if she had looked the other way, I'd have probably been the one laying out there for 3 or 4 days.
Oh, my goodness. Anything can happen on the set of a movie.
Oh yeah.
You don't get to see those outtakes all the time.
No.
we had quite a entourage of cowboys on that Return to Lonesome Dove, Sammy. Remember Billy Stockton and Benny Reynolds camping in that old white van?
Yes. And Benny is tighter than the bark on a tree. And but anyway, he was teasing me. I had this horse that I was wrangling on. I wrangled and did that little stunt. But anyway, I'm riding this horse. He's 17 hands tall. And so I'm getting up on a bale of hay to get on him. He says, "You too old to get on your horse?" I said, "I'm going to tell you what." I said, "You get down on your knees, put a watermelon under each arm, and see if you can get on this sucker." He never quit laughing for at least a week.
Oh, Sammy. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That was a good time.
Yeah, I appreciate Gray, you coming on and sharing some memories with Sammy. And Sammy, I appreciate all that you are sharing with us, many, many memories. We're going to take one last quick commercial break, and we will be back, and we'll be wrapping up with She's Gone Country with Becky. So please hold.
Okay.
4Radio.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org. Since 1997, Tres Rios Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tres Rios Silver, Llano, Texas.
4Radio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to say thank you so very much if you're listening tonight. We have a very special guest visiting with us on our show. If you're listening to us, you've either called in to 347-857-3760 or you went to Blog Talk and logged on to www.blogtalkradio.com/4Radio. And, of course, if you've missed some of the show, you can catch the archive later this evening or in the morning at www.shesgonecountry.us. So please be sure you tune in and catch up on all things She's Gone Country. Before we go into this last segment, we have about 9 minutes left, and we've been visiting with Sammy Thurman, our very special guest. And I'm going to turn the show over to my Aunt Vicki in just a moment, as she's got a few things that she wants to add. But before I do that, I just want to have Sammy thinking, because before we close the show out, I just want to know, you know, one thing that Sammy looks back on her career as something the most, one of her most memorable moments that she wants to be remembered by. So while you're thinking about that, Sammy, I'm going to turn it over to my Aunt Vicki and let her take it from here. So have at it, Aunt Vicki.
All righty. Thank you, Becky. Well, we have another special guest that's going to hop on here for a few minutes, and we would like to welcome Stacy Michael. Stacy's going to visit with us about everything Western from the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum in Oklahoma City. And Sammy, of course, has been honored with many awards throughout her career, but she was inducted into the museum in 2012, and we've got a great rodeo weekend coming up. Stacy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Great to have you. Tell us what's happening from Oklahoma City.
Oh, just getting ready for this big weekend coming up, September 26th and 27th.
Yep.
So, we've got the 26th. We've kind of changed it up a little bit this year. The 26th, we've got just a little get-together called Cocktails and Conversations. And then the 27th, we're kind of going into just a big day of book signings. We've got Gail Warner with her new book, Western Women, Who Dare to Be Different. And then we've got John Macbeth. He's got a new book, 8 Seconds of Grace. And then we've got panel discussions with Randy Bernard, and then our 2014 Rodeo Hall of Fame inductees, and then one of our favorite things, the Rewrides Rendezvous, and then that night we'll have the Champions Gala. That's the Rodeo Hall of Fame inductions. So,
well, Stacy, it sounds like a wonderful weekend, and I know that it's going to be a busy, busy weekend, and it's where memories are made. Can you tell our audience, our listening audience, how they can become part of Rodeo Weekend and become a member there at the museum?
The easiest way, you can go to loverodeo.org, and it's got all the information that takes you straight to the Rodeo Historical Society page. And the Rodeo Hall of Fame Weekend, you can go right in there where they can go to get tickets. And there's also membership where they can join. It's $35 a year. They get Ketchpin Magazine twice, admission into the National Cowboy Museum, and they also get to vote. Our Hall of Fame, Rodeo Hall of Fame, it's by nominations. And then we're the only one that our members vote on who goes in. So we've been inducting since 1955, actually. So, and our inductees this year, do you have the inductees? Our inductees are Ted Ashworth, Bob Pullison, Marvin Holmes, Francis Smith, Doug Brown, Bill Martinelli, Dennis Reiners, Bob Robinson, and Randy Bernard. Dee Pickett is coming back to accept his all-around. Sherry Servi is coming back, and it's our 25th anniversary of the Todd Lucas Memorial Award, and Sherry will be accepting that. And then Joe Beaver's coming and accepting the Ben Johnson Memorial Award.
Wow, what a cast.
Yeah.
Two of rodeo, absolutely. Well, Sammy, that brings us back to you. Sammy, what are your thoughts? I mean, you were nominated and inducted, and what an honor it must have been.
Oh, yes, it was. However, the first time I went back there, you know, I got sick on the way back, and I was out of it. The last thing I remembered was being in Kingman, Arizona on our way back there. And the next thing I remembered, I woke up in Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Beverly Hills, and I'd had open-heart surgery, and that's when I finally come around. But the people came to see me, and I was talking, and but I remember none of it. I was talking to Harry Donovan.
Yeah, I visited you at the hospital.
I know, and I don't remember anything. The only thing I remember two things. I remember Ari and Martha Josie coming in to see me.
Yeah.
I remember that. And then I remember Wilfred Brumley come to see me.
Yes,
and they said I was kind of out of it, and they were slapping me around trying to wake me up. And said Wilfred walked in, and he said, "How are you, kid?" I said, "I'm fine. How are you?" And I have that memory, you know, clear in my mind, but most of the rest of the people that came, I don't even remember. Right. But I talked.
And we did. Yeah, you did talk. We had quite the conversation. But you did come back last year. So we did have
Sammy
back last
year. Yes, and I flew back for
year.
That one day. We flew back there.
Yes.
We got in that day, and we went and we flew out the next, right. We couldn't be gone long because of work and all, and so we just got back there and back home.
But we were glad to have you back. We were glad to have you last year.
Well, thank you. And my thanks goes out to Pam. She's always been my supporter.
Yes,
she grew
nominated
up in Vegas
you
with Patty, you know.
Yes,
her,
Pam
her
nominated
Patty grew up together.
Pam nominated her, so.
Yes.
She's
Pam
a doll.
Minnick?
Yes, she did.
Pam Minnick. Well, ladies, it has been such a fun hour, and with someone such as Sammy and the caliber of life that she's led, we could go on for probably another 2 hours, but we just don't have that much time, unfortunately. We have about a minute or two till close, and before we wrap up, I just would like Sammy in 2 minutes to just, you know, in her a few words, just share with us, you know, if someone were to come back and say, wow, I wish I could have met Sammy Thurman. Sammy, what would you want to be remembered by?
I guess just being me. I've always been rather outspoken and all that. But, I mean, my world championship, my induction into the Hall of Fame, I also received the award for the American Indians I have an award for that in the arts. It was a special award that they gave me. That and and winning the world.
Well, Sammy, I have a feeling that there's going to be stories upon stories that will go on forever and ever and ever about the legacy that you left. And I know that I've been touched and blessed by being able to visit with you for an hour.
I want to say is that my grandson made the finals last year, Stan Branco, and they're doing an article called Legends of Rodeo. They're doing a movie, not a movie, but a video. Yeah, they're doing a video called Legends of Rodeo. Because he's a fifth-generation rodeo cowboy.
Oh, gotta love it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be looking for it. And I just want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight. Stacey, thank you for calling in. Gray, thank you for calling in. Michelle, thank you for calling in. I'm going to turn over to Aunt Vicki, and I am going to say goodnight. And we will see you next week on She's Gone Country with Becky.
Good night, everyone. Sammy, Stacey, Michelle, Gray, thank you so much. Listeners, thank you for joining us. And we're going to close out with a little cowgirl logic with Crystal Lyons. Good night, everyone.
Okay, bye.
Fear is something that everyone has to deal with. I have found a couple of principles that minimize the fear factor greatly, one of which is know you're in the will of God. When I know that I'm obeying God to the best of my ability, I have great confidence, no matter what the situation looks like. People living outside of God's will don't have that confidence. One time when I was flying someplace, we were in some pretty rough turbulence for a while, and the lady sitting next to me was beginning to freak out. And I quietly told her not to be afraid because nothing was going to happen to this plane. She asked how I could be so confident. Well, I told her I knew it was because I was in God's will. I was where I was supposed to be at this time, and the call of my life was not yet finished, so that plane was not coming down. Two people in the same situation, one in total peace, though nauseated, and the other tormented by fear. Well, years ago, I was entered in the girls' bareback bronc riding at a PRC rodeo in Los Angeles, and it had taken all my money just to get there and pay my fees, and I bucked off my first horse. If I didn't win something, I was stuck in Los Angeles, and the pucker factor was getting pretty intense. Right about that time, I heard that inner voice down the inside, the Lord telling me, "Didn't I call you to do this?" "Yes, Lord." "Then I'll take care of you. Get your eyes off yourself and get your focus back on me." I repented, and peace returned. It was the best ride I ever made. When God is telling you to do something and you're afraid, do it afraid. When it's God's will, face that fear and you'll conquer it. Run from it and it'll conquer you. If you'll do God's will, fear will lose its power over you. I'm Crystal Lyons, and this is Cowgirl Logic. For more, go to cowgirllogic.net.
ForRadio.com.